The reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, and that can be found on your Bible at page 1134 for you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Harriet, very, very much. I think it must be for as long as I can remember that Volvo cars have always been marketed and manufactured as being the safest cars on the road. That's been their tagline, hasn't it? And I think a recent campaign on TV, there was a little girl who was trying to sleep in her bedroom and the wind and the trees outside were battering the window. And so she grabs her teddy and runs down through the house to the garage, which was by the side, and chose to curl up in the safety and security of the back seat of Mum and Dad's Volvo. That's where she felt safest that night in the storm. After recent storms, perhaps you might have done the same recently. But Romans chapter 8, as we come to it this morning, if I can put it this way, is the Volvo of the Bible. It starts stating there's no condemnation in its opening verse and gets to no separation in its closing verse. And today's passage, as we look at just 11 verses, secures all Christian believers in the safety of God the Son. And that's all through the power and presence of God the Spirit. There are glorious truths here. We're actually going to spend all five Sundays of Lent in Romans chapter 8 and take a little bit more slow than we have been. And so let's pray as we begin and get underway. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help with his word. Father, we thank and praise you that you speak to us. We thank and praise you this morning for these verses, which for some here will feel very familiar and yet no less significant because of the joy of the truth of safety and security in your Son. And we pray that just as these verses point us to your Spirit and all it is to live in him and through him, we ask that you would speak to us by that same Spirit who had these words written down for them then and us today. And so we pray that you'd put distractions of our minds and hearts to one side for the next few minutes, that we'd grow in our knowledge and love of you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we see in the first four verses is we've no condemnation through the Son. No condemnation through the Son. Chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, no condemnation. And whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, a great way that some of you might know to make sure you understand what it's meaning, if you see a therefore, you ask, what's it there for? What is Paul saying and why? And in many ways, it's because of all that he's been saying since pretty much the second half of chapter 5. It's from there that Paul's been clear that God's judgment for all sin brought his righteous condemnation on all sinners, on you and me. But through Jesus, God gave his abundant provision of grace, his gift of righteousness through the Son, his death and resurrection for all sinners who believe. And chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is tremendously good news. It's the news he's been building to in many ways at this point. And when he says condemnation here, uses that word, in the original, it speaks not just of the verdict, God's verdict at sin, but also the punishment for sin. But there's no condemnation, verdict or punishment for those in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, verse 2, look down with me, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So the gospel, the good news of Jesus, or as he puts it here, the law of the Spirit of our Savior who gives life, it frees us from the law of our sin that only brings death for what it deserves. And it's not for anything we've done, but only because of everything God did. You notice that there? It says, God did, halfway through verse 3, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he, God, condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. See, it's all about all that he did and has done. We're totally removed from the equation. All we get is no condemnation, the verdict, and the release. God the Father sending his own Son, sinless but for sinners. And so he condemned sin in his Son on the cross. The one who kept the law perfectly died the death deserved by all of us who couldn't keep it at all. And so justice was done, the righteous requirements fulfilled. Therefore, believers receive no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The story goes of a Native American tribe who were subsistence lifestyle, of course, and they were losing chickens from the chicken coop. The chief of the tribe turned around and declared that they need to find whoever's stealing the chickens, and when they do, they'll be publicly flogged. And the hope was, of course, that would be enough to stop the chicken theft. But then one night, the chief's own child was found having snuck into the chicken coop and was sneaking off with the chickens and setting them free and messing around. And so the next day, the child is brought to the center of the settlement to fulfill what the chief required, that the child would be flogged. But at that moment, the chief stepped forward, took off his shirt, asked the child to sit down, and was flogged in their place. So as he did that, the law was fulfilled. The child went free, doubtless with a flea in their ear. But the child could not now be condemned because the chief was condemned already. They bore the verdict and the punishment for their own law. Friends, if you trust the gospel here today, you have no condemnation through the Son. I wonder if you need to feel afresh the safety and security in the gospel, in the law of the Spirit. Do you need, again, going into this week, the words we sang last week from that hymn, to be putting the spring in your step? When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. In other words, when Satan says, no, there's plenty of things you'll be condemned for. Romans 8 verse 1 says, upwards you look and see him there who made an end of all your sin. There is no condemnation through the Son. Second, we've a risen life through the Spirit. That's verses 5 to the end of our reading in verse 11. We've a risen life through the Spirit. If you were here last week, you might remember that Romans 7, chapter 7, spoke of the believer's lifelong wrestle with sin, or as someone in our small group put it on Wednesday, feels more like a war than a wrestle. I sound more of a chance in a wrestle. But then chapter 8 now promises that chance, if you will. The Spirit is sent to offer believers both the help to put sin to death, day by day, and the hope of resurrection bodies in the life to come. And so, having only been mentioned just twice so far in Romans that we've heard the word the Spirit used, the Holy Spirit now has 21 mentions in chapter 8. So we know what this chapter is all about and who it's about. And he gives four things to believers in Jesus. Two we'll hear today and two next week. And firstly, the first thing we hear that he gives is a new mindset. A new mindset. Let me read from verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. In other ways, there's two ways of living, or more literally, as Paul puts it here, walking through life. It's the word he uses. Two ways that impact our walk and therefore the way we think about our life. So we're either walking in the flesh, as it puts it here, walking in sin, or walking in the Spirit. And Paul compares the two. He says walking in sin, that ends in death there in verse 6. It shows hostility to God, verse 7. It's an abject refusal and inability to submit to God's law. And verse 8, it's a total inability to please God if that's the chosen way. Walking in sin is literally deadly serious. But to walk in the Spirit is to know life and peace, verse 6. It's the complete opposite. And by implication, it's not hostile, but it's to love God. It wants to and is able to submit to his law with the Spirit's help, verse 7, and therefore to please God, verse 8. Walking in the Spirit is literally mind-changing. See, the wonderful gift of the Spirit to believers in the Son is that he helps us not to live free of the law, as we thought about before, but to obey the law, to put sin to death, not so that we might earn those words, not condemned, but as those who've heard the verdict, Jesus was condemned already. And the promise here is the more we walk in the Spirit's steps, the more we'll think the Spirit's way. You notice it's put that way round. The Spirit, he helps us both to sin less, but wonderfully, to want to sin less the more we walk his way. Our risen life through the Spirit gives us a new mindset, a new way of thinking. Back in the 1950s, Malcolm Muggeridge was the deputy editor of the Daily Telegraph, and I think his face might appear on screen. There he is. And he became a Christian a few years later, at the age of 60 years old. A good reminder, it's never too late to turn your life to the Lord. And he was a highly regarded satirist and writer, journalist. But sadly, he was also too well known for just his reputation amongst women. His nickname on Fleet Street was the Pouncer. He was known as someone that you weren't, as a woman, safe with in taxis. And yet, after he was 60 years old, those around him conceded that he changed completely. When he became a Christian, he thought and did differently. That wasn't to undo or excuse what he'd done before. He's very open and honest about that in his writing thereafter. But Malcolm Muggeridge now walked in the Spirit, with a new mind set on the Spirit's new desires. And so he was helped day by day by the Spirit to put even entrenched and by reputation famous sins in him now to death. He had a new mind and walked a new walk. Friends, do you see the promise of the Spirit's powerful work in our walk and in our thinking? Think about what that means. Maybe you find yourself too often compromising with sin, sort of meet it halfway, or you feel too content with sin, or too accepting of it as a condition. We're only human. Or find it all too common. It's what everybody else does. Or too much attributed to your context. It's all just my background. And yet these verses assure us of a new life in Christ by the Spirit, who's given to help us grow in the mind of Christ as we walk with Christ. And so the question is, will we day by day let him, rather than sin, govern our walk? What will that look like for you tomorrow to do that more and more? The Spirit gives us a new mindset. Finally, he gives us the risen life. Verses 9 to 11, the risen life. Verse 9 again, look down with me. You, however, you believers, to those then in Rome at the church that day and to us this morning, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if isn't there to cause doubt, it means, Christian, you can be quite sure he does live in you. And so verse 10, with Christ in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. In other words, even though sin does mean this life brings aging and decaying and dying in your bodies, and we know that day by day, don't we? Hair will thin, arteries will thicken, eyes will dim, discs will slip, muscles strain. I'm just describing me this morning. I'm told it gets worse. But the Spirit gives life. And notice he puts it here in the present tense. The Spirit gives life now in the believer. Spiritually, we couldn't be more alive and more growing in liveliness, if I can put it like that, from the very moment we believe in Jesus, and not just for now, but with all the hope of resurrection to come, of the new bodies that are wearing thin and wearing out. And so as we get to verse 11, we just need to read it slowly enough, don't we, for the magnitude of what this Spirit does to sink in. Verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Is that a verse to write on the bathroom mirror this week? The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Spirit who lives in you if you're a believer this morning. And wonderfully, he is the Spirit who gives us hope of risen life to come, resurrection bodies, but also the help to put to death sin in this life now. There's a famous American preacher called an evangelist from the 19th century called D.L. Moody. I think there'll be a picture on there. I'm sure he wasn't as moody as he looks, and sort of it's sort of that classic Victorian, the classic sort of photograph of the day. But he spoke of his conversion to Christ at the age of 12, and he put it like this, one sentence from it. He says, "All the scenery looked the same, but the sky looked bluer and the grass looked greener." In other words, in his life now, it kept on going, but it was better with the Spirit, giving him faith in the Son. And he also said famously later on in life, words where he said, "Someday you'll read in the newspapers that D.L. Moody of Eastern Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I'll be more alive than now. I'll be in a body death cannot touch and sin cannot taint." He knew Romans 8, didn't he? No wonder he spent his life wandering North America telling everybody he found. The Father gave the Son to save us, the Spirit to bring new life. And we know as we look at the cross and the empty tomb, the Spirit has form. He'll raise all who believe in him too. Friends, as we draw to a close, just reflect on how last week went for you. I know a smattering of what's been on in your lives, and some of you know a smattering of what's been on in mine. How did it go? Think of your diary, where you've been, your meetings, your lessons, your friends, fun conversations, socials, less fun conversations, phone calls, emails, Zooms. I wonder how your mind was last week. Well, Paul says, wherever your mind was, here again, you have no condemnation through the Son. And so as we then think ahead to this time tomorrow, a week ahead, wonder how that's looking. Try not to distract you with whatever your week might hold. As we go out into God's world this week from this place, Romans 8 has not been given to you and me this morning so that we would hear God be saying, "Will you please just try and be more spiritual?" No, instead, Romans 8 assures the believer, God has given you the Spirit of Christ, who is at work in you, helping you walk your new life in Christ. It's not looking for more for us to do, but to simply now walk in the confidence, safety, and security of all that God has already done. What more affirming truths will you ever hear than God saying, "You've no condemnation through my Son, and I've given you a new risen life through my Spirit"? Let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank and praise you for these words that we need to hear time and time again. And that our time this morning won't have done enough with. We pray for our small groups this week where we can remind each other again, like a pit stop in the race this week, of what is true. Would you help us by that same Spirit to really live out from the position of walking and thinking in a way that is secure in Christ because of the Spirit of Christ that you've put in our hearts. Would you help us to live in your world, your way this week, but not in our strength? Please simply help us to surrender more and more to the Spirit's strength, who's at work to put sin to death in us, to keep us going until beyond our death we receive new life for eternity. For the verdict has already fallen, the punishment already dealt with. We've no condemnation in Christ. We thank and praise you and ask you to transform our weeks as we walk in that truth. And we pray in his name and for your glory. Amen.